Welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, where we interview business owners, leaders, or marketing professionals to find out their lessons and stories for success.
Welcome to episode 107 of the CMO Marketing Podcast with me, Simon Dell, your host. On today's show, we have a lady by the name of Lisa McQueen. She is the CEO of a company called Clean Corp. They are Australia's best commercial cleaners. And for anybody that knows the commercial cleaning business, it is a tough, tough business with some strong competitors in. She is really cutting through those competitors. She talks about her marketing background in hotels. She talks about the first roles that she did at Clean Corp, which was Director of Sales and Marketing, and also how she is trying to develop and change the company culture. It is a fascinating talk from a very intelligent, smart person, and I think you will gain a lot from listening to Lisa. A few other announcements before we begin. If you want to come and find out more about what we do, www.cemoh.com, C-E-M-O-H. And we are a marketing staff on-demand business, and we can help you with a marketing person in your business from one day a week up to full-time. Please come and rate and review us on iTunes podcasts if you enjoyed what you're listening to. And also the usual credit and thanks to Gilberto, who is our audio engineer, who helps put all these episodes together. Finally, if you want to get a hold of me, get in contact with me, I am on LinkedIn, Simon Dell, Instagram, Twitter, pretty much just every platform. And if you get a chance, check out our Ask CMO TikTok channel. We've started putting some fun TikToks up there that we think are informative and engaging. And yeah, we'd like to see if you think the same. So jump onto TikTok, Ask CMO is the handle there. And like and watch and make some comments, hopefully, on our TikTok videos. Otherwise, that's pretty much it from me. Let's jump into the interview with Lisa McQueen. So welcome to the CMO Marketing Podcast, Lisa McQueen down in Sydney. You are the CEO of Clean Corp, so I'm led to believe. Tell me a little bit about Clean Corp. What do you do? I mean, most people are going to be able to guess, but tell us anyway.
Yeah, there are no prizes for guessing right. Thanks for having me, Simon. It's great to be here. Yes, I am the CEO for Clean Corp, and as the name would have you believe, we are a cleaning company, and cool. We're a commercial cleaning company. Yeah. So we provide cleaning services right around Australia and New Zealand to some of, you know, some of the world's best known brands are our clients. And we've been doing this for 25, we've just had our 25th anniversary. So we've been at this for quite a while.
Right. Now, so when you say big brands, I guess you're doing big buildings. You're doing tower blocks and the whole shebang. We're not just, you know, it's not just a little office emptying the bins. You're doing the whole thing.
That's right.
So I guess logistically, you have a lot of people working for you. So what's the size of the company? What sort of numbers are you looking at?
So we run very lean. So in our office here, we have 10 people working in the office. And that runs the entire operation, you know, from a management perspective. And then obviously out in the field, we have hundreds of cleaning operatives who, you know, situated all around the country and in New Zealand. And we don't have, you know, we're not the biggest cleaning company in Australia, but we're certainly the fastest growing.
Cool. Now, you've sort of come up the ranks in the business, haven't you? But it was a family business. So give us the kind of the history of how all that happened.
Sure. So my background is I've always worked in sales and marketing and worked for, you know, international hotels in the travel industry for 20 years. And I love that. I had reached a wonderful level in my career where I was being really well paid, working for great companies, traveling around the world, staying in really freaking amazing hotels. And then my husband said to me, why don't you bring all of those sales and marketing skills to Clean Corp and let's see what we can do with the business? And it took a lot of convincing, like it really did. And I said it so many times, he literally dragged me from my job.
Kicking and screaming.
Yes. I really didn't want to do it. And I didn't, to be honest with you, I didn't think I'd be any good at it. I thought, you know, I've got this whole sales and marketing thing. How am I going to sell cleaning services? But you know, where there's a will, there's a way. And it is our family business. And once I jumped into Clean Corp, I realized that I had to bring it. because one, I wanted to show him what I could do, and two, now our entire family income was dependent on one source.
So was he the CEO at the time, and you've displaced him?
Yeah. He's always worked with the title of managing director,
right,
and been really comfortable with that. But little by little, I think that Hamish, you know, his passion for Kleincorp and what he does is he loves being out with the people.
Right.
That's really, you know, out with the clients, like out there. And our office, we needed someone who was here managing things and you know, moving the needle.
Yeah.
And so that more and more became my role. So I've said it 1,000 times, I'm your best second in charge.
Yeah.
But last year it really became, okay, I'm feeling like taking on this role is where I want to be. And I've been working a lot on my own leadership skills and developing that. And so this year I took the helm, and okay. My husband's pretty happy about it, to be honest.
Right. How does that affect the relationship at home? How are you?
Not at all. Good. I think he's really happy to be able to, you know, sit in the pocket that he loves within the business and allow me to sort of take over the strategic vision and really develop that side of it, because that's much more my native genius than what it is his.
Okay.
So I think the way that we've divided is the way that we're conquering by going with our natural strengths.
Now, obviously you're a B2B business. What's been the, when you sort of came into that sales and marketing role, B2B businesses are obviously, you know, they're a very different beast from, you know, selling something to the end user, to the consumer. What's been the biggest challenge from a marketing perspective, you know, trying to grow this company?
The biggest challenge has been to clearly differentiate ourselves in the market, because anyone can go to their local hardware store and buy a mop, a bucket and a vacuum and call themselves a commercial cleaner.
Yeah.
So we have literally, I think at last count, there were over 32,000 cleaning businesses in Australia. There's a lot of competition there.
Yeah.
So the first thing was to decide who we are.
Yeah.
Who are we and who do we want to work with? And we've honed it and honed it over the years. And we're very intentional now about who we would like to work with. And if a new client comes on board that it just doesn't feel like it's right, then we will make some changes and adjustments to make sure that it is. Having said that, sometimes it isn't. It just isn't the right fit. And we've also made the tough business decisions to go our separate ways. But I think doing that and being very clear on our own vision has helped us to differentiate ourselves in the eyes of our prospects and in the eyes of our clients, so that they can see the difference between Kleincorp and what Kleincorp offers over here and everybody else over there. Yeah. And if you look at the marketing that we've done and the messaging that we put out there, it is very different.
Because I guess to a certain degree, for some people, it's a commodity product. Cleaning an office is cleaning an office. It doesn't matter who does it as long as it gets clean. And I guess it's very easy in your industry to potentially, you know, cut your price until everybody's making no money whatsoever. So you obviously wanted to go in there and obviously hold price and talk about values and brand and all those kind of things. If I went and talked to some of key customers, those that you've had a long time, why would they say that they would never switch from you? What would be their one reason for staying with you?
The main reason would be communication and great service. That is really the key to what we do. We have in place, because a lot of companies, particularly in the cleaning space, once they get your business, you really don't ever hear from them. You get an invoice once a month, the cleaner comes in, but there is no impact on the customer's life in any real way. They don't know who you are, so they don't care who you are. And so I think with us, we have always worked on having the relationships with our clients and having that relationship where we can, you know, catch up with them, we can have a conversation with them, I can ring them and have an open and honest conversation.
Yeah.
So that's one of our key strengths, I think, though, you know, having that there.
Do you use any kind of systems for that communication? If I was a customer of yours, how am I hearing from you? What do you do that's sort of different to the competition out there?
You're hearing from us in a multitude of ways, actually. Right. So naturally, over the phone, by email, but everybody can do that. So we have a system that we use, and that system is, it kind of connects all the dots. It connects Clean Corp, the customer, the cleaning operative, all in one place.
Right.
And it creates an environment where it's very easy to quickly and easily have a conversation about something right. that you need, or, you know, something that you'd like to see happen, so that that's there. But then we also do other touches as well, Simon. So, you know, things where we'll send, you know, we might send a little something to a client for if we've noticed something in the media about them that's really cool. We pay attention, and I think that's the difference. We pay attention and we're watching.
That system that you have, is that something that you guys built for yourself, or was that something you sort of found off the shelf? Was it just like a little piece of software, or how did that come about?
I feel like we built it, but we didn't. I really do feel like we built it because we were so instrumental in the development of this particular product. And when we took it on, it was relatively new. I think we were the first company in Australia to take this product on. And so we gave a lot of feedback and a lot of input on where we saw the need. And we're very grateful that the developers were very on board with that, and they've actually strengthened their own product by using us as almost like their test case.
Right. Was that an Australian product or an overseas product?
No, it's Canadian okay. product.
Just to sort of delve into that a little bit more, did you kind of go through... A lot of small businesses want to try and find things that help systemize and process their business or create processes within their business. And I guess a little piece of software like that takes, you know, kills a huge amount of man hours in terms of that communication and all those kind of things. Did you just happen to find one or stumble on it? Or did you go through a sort of a process of looking for something that was going to fit with your business?
I had been looking for something, and I did find a product, an Australian product that we started working with at Unfortunately, that product, it just wasn't quite there. And so we were finding that rather than being, you know, a time saver, it was a bit of a time suck. So I had my reticular activating system on, looking for something else to replace it with.
Yeah.
And I'm not sure, you know, if you're aware, but I've done a lot of speaking and a lot of marketing for businesses in the US and Canada. And so when I was at an event in Michigan, I met someone and you know, they sort of put this in front of me, and I started to look into it more and more and thought, okay, I think this one might be worth investing in and really getting in on board with. And it has turned out to be a terrific partnership with them.
Now, when you took over, were you operating in all the states and New Zealand and everything? So you would, you'd already sort of had that reach. This will sort of be a question back in the past, but how do you operate remotely? How do you operate in other cities and things like that? Because obviously the challenge is you have a certain service level, your husband has a certain service level, and if anything goes wrong in Sydney, you guys can go and sort that out. How do you take that to Brisbane and to Melbourne and to New Zealand? How do you maintain that service level?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think from a marketer's perspective, and certainly from a business owner's perspective, how you're able to scale your business becomes, you know, a key performance indicator in many ways. So we had to get it right in Sydney first. So that we were able to replicate that out to the other states. And that's what we did. We worked on, so Hamish, my husband, had been running the business for 13 years before I joined. And he'd fine-tuned a lot of the organization. And then I came in and systemized and created a business that is like, we are so process-driven, it's not funny.
Right.
I think you would scour the world to find a cleaning company that is as highly processed and systemized as we are. And we embraced technology very early on. We were a super early adopter in many new technologies. So that part, getting that right, was the first thing. And then once we saw that we were starting to get scale with that, then we had clients who had an office in Sydney and Melbourne.
Right.
So we were able to, you know, when it made sense to do so, we were able to then get boots on the ground in those other states and train those teams in the Clean Corp way. And today we have, you know, the Clean Corp Training Academy, and everybody that works for Clean Corp has to go through the Clean Corp Training Academy. Okay. And that's how we maintain the consistency, because if we win a national contract, that national contract has to be cleaned at the same level, whether it's Sydney, Perth, Adelaide, Melbourne, Brisbane, it has to be the same. So that's how we've been able to achieve it.
So let's talk about those clients. You know, you've got a background in sales and marketing. Which is more important?
Marketing.
Okay.
Yeah, definitely marketing.
And it's funny you should say that, because I did a podcast when I was the guest yesterday or Wednesday, and he asked me the same question. And I said, and I actually said sales, even though I'm in marketing. But anyway, so why do you think it's important?
All right, because the marketing that we do is what attracts the sales opportunities.
Okay.
So for me, it's the marketing is how we set the tone and the look and the feel of what our service offering is and why we would be beneficial to a prospect. If I said the sales, how do we get to the sale without the marketing is kind of how I think. And also, again, going back to what I said earlier, knowing that we've got over 32,000 competitors out there, we don't want to be a commodity. So our marketing assists us really heavily in creating that difference and making people go, oh, I want to work with them because they get me, they understand me. So, that's...
If you had the chance of a new national contract, would you be going out yourself still to this day? Would you be the one that sort of goes in and sort of maybe has the initial meeting and introduces yourself and everything? Or do you send your husband out?
No, at this point, we have a national sales manager, okay. Sally Hunt. And yeah. Sally takes the lead on all national contracts. Yeah. And then generally speaking, we make a decision. It may be Sally and I. It may be Hamish and Sally. It depends on the client, the requirement. But, yeah, I'm very hands-on.
Okay. What's your conversion rate when you're in front of a customer?
Pretty high.
I thought you were going to go 100%.
I'm never going to say that, but, yeah, it's pretty high.
So go back to the marketing side of things. If you were sitting down in front of a service-based business now, not necessarily in the cleaning industry, but in a similar kind of industry, looking at targeting the same sort of people, what has worked from a marketing perspective the best for you? What gets you or Sally in front of those customers? What's best channels for you?
The best channels for us are obviously using online marketing, pay-per-click, SEO. I think also being visible and being out there in the world. So LinkedIn, we do a lot on LinkedIn, and we're working on that's a work in progress right now. But if I was a service-based business, no matter what the service was, I'd be looking at where are my clients, where are my prospects, where are they hanging out, and then that would be where I'd start my marketing. And the marketing would be very much on building not so much the company side of things, but probably starting to build personal brand in there. Yep. So there's a voice to the organization.
How do you deal with, I'd imagine if you're focusing on things like SEO and pay-per-click and all those kind of things, that you potentially attract what we would call the rats and mice inquiries, the ones that aren't big enough for you, or, is there some sort of gateway before they get to you that kind of, stops them getting to you, or are you sort of dealing with those ones as well?
Well, I think what we do with all inquiries that come in the same way, and that is to build initially, irrespective of whether they're going to become a client or not, we want them to have a great experience with us.
Okay.
So when someone calls the office here, they're going to have a good experience either way.
Yeah.
And if they come in and they want a service that we don't offer, such as residential cleaning, for example, we'll ask them, where do you live? Maybe we know someone we could recommend to you. I can send you a link to their website. We try and be good citizens and be helpful rather than just saying, yeah, no, we don't do it. So I think because that's future-proofing our marketing, because that person who wanted their house cleaned may run a company, may be responsible for a buying decision.
Yeah. And I had the same conversation with someone the other day who was scared of being in the B2C market. She was a product-based business and she said, I don't really want to be in the B2C market. And I was like, well, if you sell your product to 20 potential consumers, one of them is potentially a B2B customer and you might spend $10 or $20 or make a $10 or $20 sale in the consumer market, but your B2B market is, $50,000, $60,000 job. So you could almost treat the B2C market or the smaller ones as marketing themselves. They don't necessarily have to make any money, but obviously you want them to make money, but they're a great opportunity for you to meet potential bigger customers, facilities managers, those kind of people, I guess.
Absolutely. And that last year is a perfect example of that. Going through COVID, being a cleaning business, a commercial cleaning business, going through a pandemic, hundreds of phone calls a day, and every single phone call had the same experience. the same experience. And that, interestingly, many of them didn't become clients for a multitude of reasons, but they come back to us. They're coming back and say, well, now we're ready. We've got our teams that are coming back into the site. We'd like to get a quote on getting everything done. So that is, it is marketing in just a bit more of a subtle way.
What have you found never doesn't work for you? Where have you potentially spent money in marketing in the past and gone, well, that was a waste of time? Is there anything that's that's not worked?
Print media.
Okay.
No. Print media.
What did you try? Newspapers or magazines or?
We tried magazines. We tried newspapers. And they were just a big old donut, big old dud. Okay. And yeah, definitely did not work. We've tried radio advertising, and radio advertising, we got some really lovely brand awareness from that. So that might be something that I revisit. But really, the bang for the buck is for us, it's all in the online space. And it's also connecting, you know, we've got an amazing database. So it's keeping connected with the people that have already been in some way connected to Clean Corp and providing value to them.
Yeah. So just on that database, so presumably you've got a lot of businesses, a lot of, who are you dealing with? Is it facilities managers or building managers, that kind of thing?
Yeah, that kind of thing. I mean, that primaries are, you know, you'd be looking at office managers, facility managers, building managers, commercial real estate agents, and then also some business owners. And more, particularly through COVID, we were dealing with a lot of HR people.
Right.
So, yeah, so they're kind of our main client base.
And I guess in those industries, there is a danger that if you ignore your database for 6 months, suddenly 10% of it is out of date, that people have moved on, that an email starts bouncing and things like that. Is there a lot of cleaning, ironically, done with the database as well? How often are you sort of, you know, trying to stay on top of that?
We're staying on top of it all the time because that database that we have is our way of bringing people back to us and our way of reaching out to people. So it's very much a live thing within our business, and we're always working on it and making sure that it's, you know, we get a hard bounce somewhere, we're going to try and find out where that person's gone, reconnect with them and bring them back on.
Just back to, it was Sally, wasn't it, the national sales manager? Obviously, you've got the SEO, the pay-per-click, LinkedIn, which is potentially generating incoming leads. Does she do anything like, you know, knocking on doors or, you know, cold phone calls or any, or cold emails or that sort of thing? Is there, you know, how much of your that marketing is sort of split between the inbound and the outbound?
The inbound is high. It's very high. What Sally does is she is listening to the market. If she's out seeing someone and, you know, there's another building next door, she'll be talking to them as well. For right now, the cold calling is not our top priority because we prefer to have a little bit of a relationship beforehand, and that seems to have had a very beneficial effect on the sales that we've made. Having said that, as we bring on more and more salespeople, obviously the cold calling rate will go up exponentially.
And again, how do you get them tempted to come and have a chat with you? I mean, obviously, you've got the brand, you know, you're doing a fantastic job in the communication, potentially they're coming to talk to you. Do you do any kind of, I hasten to use these words, but offers or, you know, let us do one room and we'll show you how. But how do you kind of potentially, because no matter how good your sales and marketing are, sometimes you want to do something to potentially push them over the line. Is there anything that you're doing in that, or are you just kind of letting the natural relationship happen?
We're very much relational based, very much. So we don't, look, in the old days, and you asked me before what hasn't worked, that hasn't worked, having offers out, and neither is print media. So really building a relationship and showing that we're real people rather than we're just a company that does cleaning. We're so much more than that. And I think that's what our prospects really feel when they're interacting with us. They're feeling that, and that feels different to everything else they're feeling out there with other cleaning companies. I think that's the key thing. We feel different.
Yeah. The going back to the database very quickly, just this will be a nerdy technical question. Is that all being done within the same software that you're using to manage everything, or is there a different CRM that does things like send CRM. Emails? And, okay. What do you guys use from a CRM perspective?
So we're using Infusionsoft.
Okay, cool.
Yes, we've used Infusionsoft since 2018. 2008. I believe we were the first company in Australia to use Infusionsoft. So again,
there you go.
In fact, I won the Infusionsoft Ultimate Marketer Award in the US in 2014.
I did see you had quite a few little Infusionsoft badges on your LinkedIn page.
I'm a bit of a fan. I'm not going to lie, a bit of a fan. And it has it's enabled us to be able to leverage in all different areas with the business and to be able to do it in a way that is authentic to us and in our voice and to really reach out to prospects and clients. And, it's been very, very helpful.
I have to say, everyone I ever talk to about, because there's a love-hate relationship with Infusionsoft out there in the industry. There is nobody in the middle ground. There's either people who love it or there's people who go, never mention that word to me again. You know, this is probably unfair because they've probably developed and improved over the years. But it was a polarizing product, much like Salesforce and things like that. There's people who love or hate Salesforce and Magento and applications like that. So do you produce any content? I presume you use that database to potentially email out to customers as well and do, you know, e-newsletters and things like that.
That's right.
What do you put in an e-newsletter about, you know, content wise? What do people want to hear?
Because we are B2B, our clients want to hear about other businesses. They want to hear about leadership. They want to hear about culture and fit and things like that. They do not want to hear about cleaning. It's so fucking boring. They really don't. So honestly,
and you said you weren't going to drop the F-bomb.
You said I could.
Anyway, sorry to interrupt. Go on.
I think that it would be remiss of me as the marketer here in Clean Corp to think that our clients or anyone on our database is particularly, you know, enthralled by cleaning. They don't care. They don't get out of bed and get excited about buying a cleaning contract. All they want is to go to work and it be clean and fresh. So respecting that and understanding that is part of thinking like a client, right? Yeah. So any information that I'm going to put in front of them pretty much 100% of the time is not going to be talking about cleaning. And anyone who follows me anywhere on any social media channel will see that. And probably, you know, my competitors are probably going, she never talks about cleaning. But that's super intentional from our perspective.
And who does your content? Are you writing it or is there someone else producing it?
Oh, me.
Okay.
I do it.
Okay. Last question I have for you today, with staff all over the country, how do you guys celebrate? How do you make them feel like they're part of a team when you've got someone that could be, you know, stuck on the 17th floor of a building block on a Tuesday morning, miles away from anybody else? How do you make them still feel part of the Clean Corp Corp?
There's a couple of ways. We do shout outs. We have a huddle each morning, a 15-minute huddle at 9:15. And we do shout outs at the huddle. We do shout outs using our online system so that every single cleaning operative, whether they're in Australia or New Zealand, sees the shout outs. And what the beautiful part about using that particular platform is that then they're all feeding back. They're going, yeah, great work, John. You know, congratulations. We might have just had a beautiful testimonial on Google or something like that. It will not go unnoticed. We do amazing Christmas parties and things like that. So we work very hard on trying to make sure everybody feels part of it. And last night, one of our team leaders down in Melbourne was up. And, you know, the senior management team, we all went out for dinner with him. And he said to me that he's been in the business for 20, like not our business, but in cleaning for 22 years. And he said to me, I've never in 22 years worked for a company that cares about me as much as Clean Corp.
Right.
And, you know, that's not by accident. That's by design. That's how we want our people to feel. So, that was really gratifying.
Just to go slightly further into that one, talk to me how the huddle works, because it's actually something we started 6 months ago. And and I have to say, I still don't have You know, we obviously have a lot smaller numbers of staff, but we have the same issue, is that they could be absolutely anywhere. How do you do that and make that a success? And what are you doing it on? Are you doing it on Zoom or what's the...
We do it on Zoom. Okay. We do it on Zoom so that no matter where you are, you can just jump online very quickly and easily. And the idea behind it is so that we can share high-level stuff quickly. We also do a weekly meeting, but there's too much time that elapses between from one week to the next. So what we do is we have the messaging that's going out from sales, ops, finance, marketing, and we're basically collating that information into a 15-minute meeting so right. everybody is across it.
Okay. All right. Does everyone dial in? I mean, is there, you know, how do you encourage them to do that? Is it something they have to do, even if they're in the middle of a job, they sort of, you know, put down the mop or bucket and pick up the phone and dial in?
No, they don't have to do it because okay. it's a bit difficult when we've got cleaning operatives, especially if they're on site, yeah. when the clients are on site. They don't have to. It's something that they can do if they want to. Some people are there every day. Some right. people aren't. We also do, for our cleaning operatives, we have another separate meeting, which is once, that's a toolbox talk that's, you know, specifically for them, and we get a high attendance for that. So it's really putting the control in their hands of what they want to get. But obviously, really key information is shared, like, in the moment okay. using our platform.
So last couple of questions for you. Where do you take Clean Corp from here? You've worked your way up. You're now the CEO. You're already across Australia. You're already in New Zealand. Where's the sort of future lie for you guys?
I think for us, the future is going to pretty much stay with Australia and New Zealand. We've had some outreach from companies in Asia who would like to, you know, partner up with us. And that's certainly something that's on my mind. I've also had similar conversations with people in the US. Right now, I just want to make sure that we are as toned and lean as we can be so that we're, you know, we're really, you know, exceeding expectations for our clients, our cleaning operatives, the people that work in this office, our suppliers, in every way. So I think right now I'm just making sure everything works really well and keeping the ship steady.
Okay, awesome. Last question, if someone wants to get in contact with you, what's the best way of going to have a chat with Lisa?
Best way to contact me is probably on LinkedIn. I'm very active on LinkedIn and my, you know, Lisa McQueen, or you can send me an email, lisa@cleancorp.com. Either way, you'll find me in either place.
Awesome. Fantastic. Thank you very much for being on the show today. It's been an absolute pleasure. Have a fantastic rest of your day and a great weekend.
Awesome. Thank you so much for having me, Simon. It's greatly appreciated.
That's the end of episode number 107. If you liked what you heard, there are plenty of other episodes to go back and check out. Otherwise, we will see you for the next episode.